This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. Yes, the Bible is verbally inspired. People hate the gospel now, don't they? Unsaved religionists hate the gospel, hate the doctrine of election, hate the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Yet we know it's the truth. But this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. We're bringing you another old-time message by the late Pastor Shelton. And the message today is Satan, the great adulterer. That ought to whet your appetite. That ought to make you perk up your ears. Satan, the great adulterer. And we'll bring you the mailing address and all at the close of the broadcast.
Our only source of information about Satan, fallen angels, and demon spirits is the Scriptures. Now you bear that in mind. Only through the Bible is our source of information. And we're giving you Thus Saith the Lord. The world laughs at the idea of a personal devil and demon possession and influence today, but the intrusion of wild, strange, bold, and blasphemous suggestions into the heart of the Christian in his holiest moments is a phenomenon not easily reconcilable with any other theory. A great scholar of the past century said, evil is often breathed into man's hearts. They know not how. Their intellects are sharpened while their conscience are dead. They're impelled the wrong way by an evil force which is in them and not of them. Fountains of vileness and sin are open and almost created in their hearts, and they are in danger of being plunged into every kind of violence. Whence are all these things? Are they to be accounted for by the natural causes? Is man the sole originator of his wrongdoing? Has he only himself to blame? Scripture tells us that this is not the case. It unfolds to us and tells us that this is not the case. It unfolds to us that the fact that the children of men are beset by tempters who try to make men as much as possible like themselves. Now, that's true. I know there's a Satan. I know there's a tempter. In our last study, we showed you Satan's position and dominion as set forth under the phrase, anointed cherub that covereth it, whom God created and appointed for that position. It is a position of highest order and ministering cherub to the Messiah in all of his offices. Are we, might say, the messianic cherub, Lucifer, when he sinned, transgressed in every official relationship to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as well as every creature being under Lucifer's authority. Let me read you Isaiah 28:16 and show you how he revolted and led astray 1/3 of the angels. Revelation 12:4. Listen, by the multitude, that is abundance, of thy merchandise, that is slanders and talebearing, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, are torn away many, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane, defiled, adulterous, out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, cause you to stray, wander, or disperse from the midst of the stones of fire. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries, Lucifer's dwelling places, by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, slanders, propaganda. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth and in the sight of all them that behold thee. The word defile means prostitute, or make common, or light of, or for public use. So does the word profane. Notice he said Lucifer would be cast out as profane or prostituted, be He prostituted his sanctuaries. And in Psalms 55:20, he hath broken, prostitute his covenant. God says that he defiled his sanctuaries by the multitude of slanders. That is a propaganda campaign, and by it have filled heaven with violence, which means torn many away. That is Satan's purpose in every age, to tear down everything the Lord does, and only God's restraining hand can limit his power. You and I have no control over Satan. The sooner we learn that, the better off we are. Our subject this morning is Satan, the great adulterer. Listen carefully, and then write me for a copy to study. Word for adultery in the Scripture conveys the idea of turning aside to visit or lodge in the home of a stranger, having both good and bad meanings. Adultery properly means to move in and lodge with a strange or foreign family. It is the word used to speak of Israel being turned aside to strange gods. Another word to commit fornication has a similar meaning, and also is used of idolatry. Idolatry, adultery, fornication carries the same idea. When Satan said, "I will move in with God and be like God," he transgressed God's boundary line between the Creator and his creature, but he covered his heart with a lying tongue. As Ezekiel said in 33:31, "For with their mouth they show forth much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Just as Satan will succeed in taking the kingdom by flatteries through the Antichrist, Daniel 11:21, so he attempted to induce God to surrender the kingdom to him, just as he sought to take the Lord Jesus Christ at his weakest moment by subtlety and lure him to surrender his headship and crown to Satan by falling down and worshiping him. This is the same way he seduced Eve. The woman being deceived was in the transgression. Satan was dazzled by his own beauty, that he destroyed and perverted his wisdom by becoming self-sufficient, proud, and independent, until he didn't have sense enough to realize how foolhardy he was acting in insulting the only majesty of the heaven of heavens. When God repulsed him, he turned on him with the fire of hatred in his soul and took it out upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten beloved Son. All the heat of passion after power and covetousness turned to fierce anger, jealousy, and wrath. Let me drive home this great truth here, my friend. Satan works with every sinner today just as he did from the day iniquity was found in him. Now hold that, and let us go just a little farther and see if we can find in God's Word the reason that Lucifer, the messianic cherub, rebelled and revolted against God and insulted him, taking it out upon the Lord Jesus Christ, which forced the God of heaven to cast him out of his sanctuary. God said, "I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now let me read you three scriptures. The first is found in Ephesians 1:3-4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now get this. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will." Now let's look at these words. according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That expression, before, now get it now, before the foundation of the world, is the same as found in John 17:24. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This means that before there was ever a sun, moon, star, angel created, that God loved his eternal, only begotten Son and chose his elect when there was none to instruct him or to tell him nay, that his great election may stand based solely and only upon the sovereign, independent will of Almighty God. This is one of the greatest truths of God's eternal word. It's the foundation of our salvation as revealed to us by his eternal spirit. Just to think that I was loved of the Lord back in the eternities just as much as he loved his Son when only the triune God existed. Now you listen to me as I call your attention to another verse of Scripture found in Revelation 13:8. Listen, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, Satan, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now let's notice that expression, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's great election took place before the foundation of the world. But after he created the world, that is the whole cosmos, by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was then revealed to the heavenly host, the secret counsel of the whole plan of redemption. Lucifer, the greatest created being, the anointed cherub, sat in on that council and heard God's purpose set forth of manifesting his great wisdom and love to sinners whom he would redeem and give to his Son as a trophy of grace. Now Lucifer, the son of the morning, the anointed cherub that covereth, had been leading the praise of the universe and seemed to be so happy in this place of worship. But when he stood there and heard unfolded to his ears that Christ, the Son of God, the only beloved Son, of whom he was the prince of the guardian angels, was to make himself of no reputation, humble himself, and take upon himself the form of a servant, and a little lower than the angels, and be in the likeness of men, and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He revolted against this plan or God's will. He would not accept the fact that the kingdom of God would come through suffering and death and disgrace of the cross. How could he be associated with the Son of God and the offense of the cross? Then he began to lay his plans in his heart to overthrow Christ and thwart God's purpose of redemption and take the place of Christ upon the throne and be equal with God. He could not see, and he would not accept the place with Christ in his humiliation. He began a slander of Christ among the other angels, and thereby created a rebellion until it reached such a state that Michael had to lead the host of other elect angels against him, and the battle raged until he was cast out of the holy place. Then Revelation 12:3 states that because of his adulterous, covetous, jealous nature, he dragged down one-third of the angels to perdition with him in judgment. This means that when they made that choice, they were reprobated. And there is no redemption for them. And those who chose Christ became the elect angels, who became the ministers unto the heirs of salvation, and became associated with Christ in his humiliation and shame of the cross. These angels who decided on the side of Christ find continual delight in searching the riches of redemption through the blood of the blessed cross. Angels brought a telegram from heaven to Mary that she would be the mother of the Christ child. Angels announced his birth upon the Judean hills. Christ had a bodyguard of 72,000 angels. Then angels were with him in the garden when he was crucified. The angels announced his second coming, and they will be with him when he comes back in his glory. You see there, the angels divided, one-third went against Christ because of his suffering and humiliation and vileness in becoming sin. The others turned and accepted Christ on his side. Now that battle raged in heaven, and Christ was slain before the foundation of the world to test out every angel in heaven before he was crucified here on earth. But we were elected back before the foundation of the world, and he was crucified from the foundation of the world. And that was settled in heaven before Christ ever came on earth to be born. The reason that Lucifer rebelled was that he was unwilling to become identified with the sufferings and death and the offense of the cross. He wanted to secure the kingdom in pomp and glory. All this suffering, self-denial, self-sacrifice, as the motivating principle of love, was totally foreign to his thinking and went against the grain. He taunted Christ for being so foolish as to be willing to be made sin for wicked, vile, corrupt sinners. This is set forth in Psalm 69, where Christ is pouring out his grief before the Father. Now, my friend, here on this earth, the cross of Christ is still the storm center of the battleground. The average individual today hates the cross of Christ and despises every sinner who is saved by the blood of Christ. Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness." The average individual today, if it were possible, would enter the kingdom of heaven if they could come in with their pride, with their selfishness, and with their covetousness. But there still stands the cherubims guarding the tree of life, Christ with the flaming sword, and no man can come to know Christ until that individual is willing to come by the way of the cross, which means suffering and death. The cross means self-denial. Self-denial means saying no to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Your will must be broken. You must rest at the feet of the crucified Son of God, dead to the world, dead to self, but alive unto God. The Jew rejected Christ because they would not accept him as the suffering servant of Jehovah. The Gentiles rejected him because the Christ meant death to all their selfish motives, pride, self-will, self-glory, fame, material possessions. Christ said, "He that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." And he meant it. Now let's notice another illustration set forth in God's Word. You know, everything that takes place in heaven has its counterpart here on earth. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Christ began to show his disciples how he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, be killed and rise again the third day. Peter listened to him attentively, and it dawned upon him, listen now, that he was taking the route of suffering and death. He began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be done unto thee. But Christ turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou severest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Satan here was using the same old trick, because the death of Christ is still foolishness to him, and he is still working to set up a kingdom on this earth without the cross of Christ, and to build it upon a totally depraved human race, and it can't be done. Christ rebuked Peter and said, Peter, you don't understand. I have to go by the way of the cross. Then he turned to his disciples and said, if any man will come to me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Which means, Peter, you say no to the lust of the flesh. You say no to the lust of the eyes. You say no to the pride of life. You take up your cross. This means you die. You die to the world. You die to everything that is in the world. If you're even a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. When you deny self, then you can come and follow me, says Christ. I seek disciples only by the way of death. Friends, you may think that's hard, but that's the only way of salvation. If you do not go on the outside of the camp where the sin offering was slain and become identified with Christ in death and become identified with him in the resurrection, you're just not saved. That's all I can say about it. You're not. Your will must be broken. Let's take another example. Take Judas, for instance. God dealt with Judas as tenderly as he knew how, all through the year and a half, 3 years and a half. But he watched him. He grew farther away from him. And the last night, Christ said to him, one of you men is going to betray me tonight. They all answered, Lord, is it I? And he gave the sup to Judas. Satan entered into him and said, Judas, what you do, do quickly. Judas exposed himself. Judas did not want to go by the way of the cross. Judas did not want to establish the kingdom by the way of the cross. God doesn't reprobate you. You reprobate yourself. You do. In conclusion, let me use this thought. Satan, the great adulterer, dragged down one-third of the angels with his tail. The word for tail in Hebrew is the same word for the lust of fornication. That means that the fallen angels and every sinner who is following your sap will, which is Satan's passion, is whoring after Satan and his pleasures of the world, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is being manifested today by rebellion against God's word, by open defiance against his commandments, by conforming to the standard of the world. When Satan controls, and by deliberately wearing the marks of harlotry. Yes, you are. When the Lord gave instructions to Moses to make linen breeches for the priest, he covered their nakedness. When they came in the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they came near to the altar, he specified that they were to be made to cover their nakedness. And they did. They were. And my friends, listen, he said to virgin of daughter of Babylon, because he is comparing her to the religious world. He describes her and says to her, cut your hair, pare down your flowing skirts, that is, shorten them, uncover your thighs or your nakedness and your shame, and disgrace will be seen by all. And I will meet you in judgment, says our Christ. He will. Go on with your nakedness. Go on as you are. God will meet you in judgment. You are following the great adulterer.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you just heard was Satan, the Great Adulterer, by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, and it's number 354 in this series, but we can send it to you in printed form. We have many, many titles by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, over 400 titles. I tell young preachers, get a set of these. It'd be better than a seminary education. Many have done that thing. But folks, write in and get them to send out, give out in the jails and the hospital and the nursing homes, wherever you go. The lady put a packet of them in their purse. The man put them in his coat pocket. And we've done that. They've been blessing. Folks have written me and said, Pastor, we found this message on a doctor's office on the coffee table there somewhere. And we didn't know it was anything like this available. Old-time gospel. We'd be glad to send them to you. I'll send you a title list of all of them. You can pick and choose which ones you'd like. But remember, the message you heard was Satan, the Great Adulterer. What a message, my friend. It's so enlightening and so it's just a good message about Satan. You know, folks deny the existence of Satan. They think he's like somebody with a red flannel underwear suit on with a long tail and a pitchfork. No, no, my friend. That's not Satan. Satan wears a $1,000 suit and a $400 pair of shoes, and he comes to church every Sunday morning. But listen, remember the address. Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my phone number here, Pastor Pendarvis, I'll be glad to talk to you. Call me any morning. I'm always here about 7 o'clock in the morning to up until noon. And it's area code 225-664-8658. And I had a lady call me the other day, and I answered the phone. She said, Pastor, you mean I can talk to the trailblazer? You mean I can talk to the pastor without going through three layers of secretaries? Yes, ma'am, you sure can. And I'll be glad to call you back if I miss you. But it's been good to be with you today. The message was Satan, the Great Adulterer. The message was by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, and he was our founder and our pastor here for many, many years, going on to be with the Lord. We still air his broadcast on about 100 stations every week. And if you would, write, and I'll send you a list of all those radio stations. Maybe one right around the corner from where you live or where your children live in some city in some other state. But I'd like to hear from you. Help me with the broadcast if you can just a little bit. And then write me and tell me that you heard the broadcast. We just plain old sinners saved by grace here. Not trying to make a name for ourselves, but we always happy to hear from you. So goodbye and God bless you.